Sorry, date the Torah by Dr. Shalom Springer.
Good morning to you all. Our shiur this morning comes from the writings of Rav Elia Lapian in Sefer Lev Eliyahu. And he talks about an incident in last week's Sedra. It's Tuesday, so we can still talk about Balaisacha, and it's an incident that happens with the Mon. The Mon is amazing material, as we know, yet the Pasuk says that Klal Yisrael complained, or a section of Klal Yisrael complained, and they said, V'ato nafsheni yivesha, we are, our souls are drying up, ein koil, we have nothing, bilti, we've just got this mon all over the place in front of our eyes. The mon was very good. Zargad, however you translate that, difficult words to translate, like crystalline. And Rashi tells us that the one who said this wasn't the one who said that. That means the people who said V'nafshenu Yivesha. And then the posset goes on, Vamon Kizra Gad, that's not the Yidden saying that, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying that, that in the Torah, that the Mon was very, very good material, wonderful in all sorts of ways. And so we are surprised that Klal Yisrael grumble, Bilti, Elamon, nothing but Mon, and they grumble. And the strange thing is, says Rav Elia, that we know that because of their complaints, they were punished, in fact, severely punished. It's in the same Sedra. But nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu seems to agree with it. Because there's a pasuk in Devarim, Vayancha, Vayero, Yarivecha, Vyachilchu Esamon, Asher lo yudatim, Velo yodun avosecha. In Devarim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I afflicted you, and I starved you, and I fed you the mon, so certainly there is inui and rov and famine associated with mon. There are hardships associated with mon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that in Devarim. So why are we surprised that the Eden should grumble about it? What's wrong with the fact that they're complaining about it when HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself agrees that the mon was difficult? Well, let's delve into this particular conundrum. Let's have a look. And we know from Pirkei Avos that Pirkei Avos tells us, Kach Yi Darko Shel Torah. And if you want a title for this particular shiur, I've called it Journey of Life to Torah. That's what it's all about. And that's what Rav Elia is going to put over to us. And we're now going to quote Pirkei Avos, which everyone's very, very familiar with. Kach Yi Darko Shel Torah. Pas b'melach toichal, we shall eat bread and salt. Doesn't sound very inviting. No big menu there. Maim b'mesura tishter, maim in very small quantities. Valoris tishon, you'll sleep on the ground. V'chayetza tichye, and we will live a life of hardship. That is kachi darka shel Torah. It's furusha mishnah. V'imata oisakein, ashrecha v'toiv lach, and we darsh them that, ashrecha, all quite difficult to understand. So that seems to be the derech haTorah, the derech to approach Torah, not Torah itself, but that's the way you get to it. That's what Pirkei Avos seems to say. So let's consider this for a minute, says Rav Elia. We all know, and we all feel, and we all live this way, that the tachlis of our lives is Torah. We try to achieve it, we try and aim for it, we try and move towards it on a continuous basis, everyone in his own way. I'm talking about Haredi Sheyidin, Torah Yidin, and it's the fundamental of life. And let's call it the Paltin Shel Melech. This is our aim, this is the palace. If we get there, that's the place to be, yeah, towards Torah. So therefore, if that's the case, and that is the paltin, if that is the aim and the objective of our lives, surely, let's use an expression, it should be paved in gold. The derech should be paved in gold. It should be wonderful. You know, the derech of Torah, if that is the thing that you want to achieve, and that is the tachlis of all tachlisim, that's his expression, the Vele's expression, tachlis of all tachlisim is the Torah, surely it should be a very pleasant path. And yet we've just learned, in fact, it's going to be very difficult. Pas v'melech, etc., etc. And it's going to be difficult throughout your life. So why is it that Torah isn't something that is very pleasant to walk towards and to live in? And he gives a moshel to try and explain this. And the moshel is, I've already used the expression palace, you're on the way to the palace, you're on the way to Buckingham Palace in London, and there you will find that the buildings are getting nicer and more opulent, and the trees planted in strategic places. The lighting is fantastic and the scenery is very, very nice. And as you will move towards the palace, and this is true for every country, the buildings and the environment gets better and better as you go. And you really feel, you know, I'm on the way, right? I'm on my path to the palace because everything's getting better and better as we go. That's the Derech Ha'olam. That is what's happening. That's the marshal. That really is what should happen. In the quest for Torah, that things should get better and better as we go. So he says that's true, that when you're in the world and you're moving towards the palace, things do get better and better. The environment does get better. But supposing you find yourself in a place where there is mud and thorns and difficulties and the pavements are sticking up and there are not many people about, you know you're not en route to the palace. You know that. So this is the moshel. That's what it should be. And that reinforces his question that if the Torah is something that we are all aiming for, surely the path should get better and better. So the big question, why dafka, darko shel Torah, as we learned in Pirkei Avos, should it be that it's going to be very, very difficult for us when Torah and Chaim are equated absolutely in an equivalence, that Torah is Chaim, Chaim is Torah, and this is what we hold, therefore the path should get better. What is going on here? So that's where Dafka, it seems, because it's en route to Torah, that's exactly where we say Pas Bamelech, yeah, and Bamaim Bamasura, and Chai Etzar, that's exactly where those expressions are used. In Darko Shel Torah. And so I've laboured the point, but you know, he's making it very clear that this is a big question. How can this be the derech? How can this be the derech? Back to our marshal, if you're in a place where there's mud and thorns, you know you're not on the way. Not on the way to the palace. So how can this be the derech? And yet the Tana says, Im ata oisa kein ashrecha. If you do this, if you carry out this, then ashrecha. Then you are fortunate. This is the way to live. So, what is going on here? Well, he tells us that there is no question, certainly in our minds, and everyone who's listening to this shiur, attending this shiur, there's no question in our minds that Torah represents the maximum hatzlocha. That's what we believe. Torah is hatzlocha. That is our hatzlocha. And it's not strewn with thorns and thistles and pavement sticking up and mud, etc. It's not. We know that as well. And therefore, neither are its approaches. Yeah, the paths leading towards Torah and our aim is not going to be strewn with thorns and thistles. And quite the contrary is actually true. However, and this is the point where he tells us, and of course it's a sefer full of Musa, and so inevitably this year is going to be Musa to all of us. I'm not a Bar Musa, I'm merely repeating what the sefer says and what he tries to explain to us. And it's very relevant for our lives. Not everybody recognizes the route. We may be on the way, we may try to be on the way, but on the other hand we encounter great difficulties and we suffer because of it. Because people do not recognize the route they're on. People get distracted by all sorts of things other interests intrude, worldly interests intrude, and therefore our practices are not pure. We are not focused on what we should be trying to achieve. And we find ourselves in the middle of thorns, etc., because when we make our work worldly instead of unworldly, then we do encounter thorns, we do encounter difficulties. There are problems on the way. And we are not en route at all. When we're not focused on what we should be getting to, then we're not on the route at all. So in other words, two people can have the same experiences, and one realizes that they are following a route which is directly leading them to Torah, mitzvah, etc., and all that, of that, in a very pure way. And if he understands the tachlis for which he's driving himself forward, he won't experience difficulties. He'll find himself on the way. So when does Paspa Melech and all of those things that the Tana enumerated, when does that turn into Ashrecha? Right? Because what we've been describing, when a person is not focused, there's no Ashrecha there. So when it's coupled, he tells us, Omol Batoira, when it's coupled with the work, which is Omol Batoira, under those circumstances, then all of a sudden, all those difficulties turn into other things. All those difficulties are not noticed as difficulties, and they're not experienced as difficulties when we have the Omol accompanying. So in other words, without Omol, it is true that without Omol, it doesn't work. If we take Torah casually, and it's just a part of our lifestyle, and that's it, and we take it or leave it, then it's true. Without Omol, without pushing it, without putting effort into it, and sort of, if you like, sacrificing a bit of ourselves, then it's true. It does not turn into Ashrecha v'Tov Lach. It's true. But otherwise, when there is Omol, then everything turns into something different. And he quotes famous expression, Barossi Yetzer Hara uBarossi Torah Tavlin. I created a Yetzer Hara, and I created a Torah Tavlin. Torah is a medicine. Torah is an antidote to the Yetzer Hara. And the Vilna Gaon tells us, and Rav Dessler quotes it, others quote this a lot, B'chol Levovacha, whereas it should have said, B'chol Libcha, with all your heart. Levovacha implies a double expression, base, with Shnei Yitzrecha. You should serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu B'Shnei Yitzrecha. Yetzer Tov, obviously. And even with the Yetzer Hara, Rabbi Dessler's got lots of shiurim about it, one in particular, where he explains to us how that works. It works on the basis that le'olam yaseh kodem b'Torah mitzvah, a person should always be practicing Torah mitzvahs, afilu shelo lishma, even if shelo lishma. In other words, it's for all sorts of other reasons a person should practice Torah mitzvahs, shelo lishma, for the honor, the glory, the money, whatever it might be. Not pure Torah lishma. If we do something enough, and we do it a lot, even if it's for the wrong reasons, eventually we will come to do it for the right reasons. And therefore, that's Shnei Yitzrecha. Yitzhar Tov, of course, and even the Yitzhar Ra, doing it for the wrong reasons, it'll turn out well. So yes, Torah without Amola leads to Paspa Melech, and that's, it is unpleasant. It's too difficult for us sometimes. If we're not putting in any effort, we don't see the joy of it. We don't see the Ashrecha. And if that's true for this world, Kol Shekein, for Yenebel, we don't have the Ashrecha v'Tov Lach for the next world. But with Amola, then the Tavlin, Torah Tavlin, is Nifla. It's amazing how it works. And it sweetens everything. Everything all of a sudden becomes sweet. Everything becomes tolerable. And we find great joy in life when there we have Amola Shel Torah. Even hardships begin to feel Ashrecha v'Tov Lach. Even B'Olam Hazeh, things might be hard looked at from an outside point of view. This person's living difficulties, has not much money, etc., etc. But the person himself, who is an Amol B'Torah, is experiencing something completely different. He's experiencing something which is very joyous, very uplifting. And this is the Torah Tavlin, that it's an antidote to the Yetzer Hara, antidote to all those distractions that we were talking about before with our Molah B'Torah. And this is, for many of us, maybe a great chiddush, that this is the secret and this is the key, that hardships are transformative. Something magic happens when there is a Molah B'Torah. If we can inject the Omol B'Torah, then all of a sudden hardships become not only tolerable, but in fact, truly enjoyable. So, most, he says, are not interested in a Molah B'Torah. They don't want to make the effort. And therefore, they miss the beautiful path to the palace. They're always struggling with the thorns and the thistles because the Amolah isn't there. As soon as one has Omol B'Torah, all of a sudden the environment becomes beautiful. And they are so wrong. He uses the word kozov. They are lying. In fact, they're not telling the truth because they don't understand the truth. They're experiencing something which seems very difficult, seems very unpleasant, and on the other hand, they could make it so pleasant by putting in the Omol Shel Torah. And the reason is because we are addicted to our lifestyles. We are addicted to the things we enjoy, things we like, and we can't break away. We can't break that circle. And that's the problem, and that's what the difficulty that we are encountering. And that's why we don't see the beautiful path to the Paltin Shel Melech. The Vilna Gaon brings a moshel. He says the following moshel. A person is very, very thirsty. He really is parched. And he finds this barrel of water. And he takes a gulp of the barrel. It's extremely salty. And yet he drinks, he carries on drinking because he's very, very thirsty. And he drinks, and it's very salty. And he feels that, you know, at least I'm drinking water. But within 10 minutes, because of all the salt he's just imbibed, he feels even more thirsty than he did before. And this is the point, that because we can't understand exactly what the nice thing is, what the true value is, which is the Omol B'Torah, which he is getting at, therefore we continue to drink our salty water and we can't taste the thing which is good. So a person might say, you know, let us talk about ourselves. We might say, well, these are lovely words. The great Rav Elie Lopkin says them, and they're really very lofty, and they are spiritual in all ways. But for us ordinary people, I don't quite understand how that works. It's a bit of a contradiction. It's very, very nice. Yeah, if you do it the right way, then everything will become pleasant. But the fact is, the world is the world. So I don't understand. And he brings a moshel to try and explain this because he understands the common man. He does understand how we tip. And we might all have had this question. And he says the following. Supposing you try, you meet somebody that's never had a glass of wine in his life. And you try to explain to him the pleasures, the taste, the smell, the bouquet, the enjoyment of having a glass of wine. You explain that to the person. At the end of your explanation, no matter how eloquent you are, he'll be none the wiser. He will not understand. You cannot explain the taste. There's someone standing by and watching all this and seeing the consternation on the listener's face and the enjoyment and the enthusiasm of the person who's explaining how wonderful it is to have a glass of wine. And this is a complete mismatch between those two. So this third person has a wonderful idea. He takes a bottle, pours some wine into the bottle and hands it to this person and says, just drink a bit of this. And he drinks it and all of a sudden he understands. In other words, says Avelli, you've got to experience it. Without the experience of our Melech B'Torah, you cannot possibly understand or get a whiff of what it's all about. And that's why the Tana actually says, in utter oisekein, if you do it, you will then be very, very fortunate as to the results, both by Olam Hazeh and in Olam Haba. Im ata oisekein, then that is what is going to happen. So we have a sort of key as to if we'll know exactly, once we start practicing it, we'll actually have knowledge. The man with a glass of wine who actually tastes the wine eventually understands what this man was talking about and all the enthusiasm he put into his talk, that this is what it's about. And Pasuk says, Firim Roshu, that the lions sort of roar, But Dorsha Hashem lo yachsru kol toiv. But Dorsha Hashem, they don't lack anything at all. They don't have feeling that I'm going short. They don't have a feeling I'm lacking something. They have no needs. And this is something that Chazal are trying to put over to us. That when we put the omol in, what Reli is trying to put into us, when we put the omol in, we will feel no other needs at all. Everything will come as an ex-present extra. Now, Rabbi Sai, I haven't either been asked or been given permission to talk about what I want to deviate from at this moment, but I was preparing this shiur and coming to a point over the last few days where we have suffered in this town, and in fact, in the world, a great loss in the patira of Rav Yosef Chaim Greenhaus, a man I knew very, very well from childhood. In fact, he was in my class, then later on in yeshiva, and then we were both members of Tottenham Adas. I was 40 years, he was about 30 years in Tottenham Adas. He sat a few places away from me, and we heard some wonderful hespedim last night in Shaarei Mordechai, and there are going to be some more tonight. And I felt I just can't let this occasion pass by, and especially as I was preparing this particular shiur, which I thought was so appropriate and so applicable to this gentleman, that I just give myself permission. I haven't got permission from the family or from the organisers of Torah Way to talk about somebody in particular, but I hope I will be forgiven on both counts. And what I want to say is that we heard a lot, and we know a lot, and anyone who knew this man was conscious of his dikduk in everything, dikduk and tefillah. And I am an aid re'iyah and an aid shmiyah. He sat a few places away from me in Tottenham Adas for 30 years. And this man's tefillah was exemplary. Every word was said. He was in full concentration. He never lost concentration, it seemed to me. And his davening was quite amazing. So I know this first-hand experience, I can tell you, that his dikduk in tefillah and his fastidiousness with money matters. Over the years, you know, certain things, you hear certain stories, and the stories abounded. If anybody attended the shiva or last night, the stories, some of them extremely funny. His dikduk was so, his fastidiousness was so strong that sometimes, you know, it merged into humour. The fact that the way he behaved. So many, many stories. And Torah, well, Torah, his asmoda was legendary. And once again, I'm talking from the first person, Ada Chavruso, with him for 13 years in London, in Tottenham Adas. And his amkus ha-Torah was second to none. He would not move from the place, from the line that we were doing, unless he had clear understanding. And it may take us days to get there, didn't matter. Days he would not move on until he had it absolutely clear. That was his derech, etc. And you know, in every chavrusa, there's probably a dominant one and a less dominant one. I was certainly the lesser. He was the dominant one. He was the leader of the chavrusa, no doubt about it. And, you know, this was an experience for me over all those years to learn with a man like that. And his dikduk in the thirst for learning and the clarity, wanting to know what is going on. And I thought to myself that all of those things that were described and everything that he did, his love of nature, for example, his knowledge of astronomy, he was a very broad-minded person. In argument, he would be able to hold his corner very, very well. And yet, there was never any ego involved at all. Never tried to win the argument, just wanted to know what was going on. And I thought, is there something that we can encapsulate? You can't be magdir person. Person is very complex. But on the other hand, are there some driving forces? Is there a sort of central engine that is working this sort of this personality? And I came to the conclusion, no great chidushim, probably won't understand this and know this, but really, this man was a mevakesh or emes. That's what drove him. Emes and the search for emes is what the powerhouse of this man was. Emes. I want the truth. Didn't matter how. And everything he did was permeated with truth of one sort or the other. And everything informed him, guided him, led him, permeated everything he did, said, and as far as I know, thought. He wanted to know what it was. And in argument, he was very, very effective and a very intelligent man. No ego, and never tried to win. Very much a Rav Yochanan figure. We know the story of Rav Yochanan, that when Rish Lakish was Nifter, Rav Yochanan was devastated, so devastated that his colleagues thought, you know, he might really get ill, maybe even die. And they realized that he's suffering terribly at the loss of Rish Lakish. And so they gave him another chavrusa, yeah, to get on with. Rish Lakish and Rav Yochanan, we know every block the Gemara's got machlokas of Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish. So they gave him another chavrusa. And anyway, so he sat down to learn with this man, with this other man, and it lasted, I don't know, a few days, a week perhaps. And Rav Yochanan couldn't take it. Why not? Because everything Rav Yochanan said, and of course he was the God of Ador, right? He was the God of Ador, he knew what he was talking about. Everything he said, the chavrusa would bring him a raya. A few rayas. Yes, I've got a raya from this Mishnah, that raya, this posuk in the Chumash, etc. Bring him a raya. And Rav Yochanan couldn't take it. You know, everything I say, you say, Leila Messiah, I can bring you a raya to what you've just said. I don't want rayas. When Shubala Kisha, when Rish Lakish was alive, what he used to do, when I said something, he would bring 24, 48, I can't remember. He would bring 24 rayas for Kert. He'd bring arguments against me. That's what I want. Rav Yochanan was a true Levakish or MS. And this we saw in this man, Yossi Greenhouse, exactly that. The Bikushu Emes, never any ego involved, never wanting to win the argument, wanting to know the truth. What is the right argument? And this Bikushu Emes, I believe, was the driving force. And so everything he did didn't matter what with us. Money matters, tefillah, conversation, etc., everything. And that's why he was a person you could trust. If you had a question, and we had lots of sort of very great debates, Ashkofa and otherwise, both secular and about Torah as well. Over the years, we had lots of debates. If you wanted an honest answer, then you would go to Yossi Greenhouse because you would get an unadorned answer. He wasn't concerned the public opinion, the fashion didn't bother him at all. He didn't mind going against the grain. He didn't come out very frum, so to speak, that the answer always had to be frum. Sometimes, you know, he had another point of view. He really was his own man. And that was the refreshing thing, this refreshing emes that he brought to the table. And when I was, just this morning, I thought, well, I was saying Abba Rabba, we say one particular expression, what would we daven for? We daven, which I thought was so appropriate, it sort of fell into my lap, and I thought I'd mention it. Avinu Avarachimon, we say. Rachim, Rachim Oleinu. We're davening to our Kodesh Baruch Hu, please, have mercy on us. Lahovin Ulhaskil. That we should understand and internalize the Torah. Well, oh yes, this man made lots of efforts. He was a true Omel Batorah. Omel Batorah, you know, big time. Lilmoid, legendary. His Asmoda, his Amkus, etc. Ulalamid, ticks all the boxes, this man. Ulalamid, he was a teacher. Lishmoya Velasois, with Dikduke Amitzvahs being also part of his curriculum. Absolutely, to the end product, to the end, yeah? No corners cut at any time. And Lishmoyavelasois Ulakaim is called Divis Amotor Secho. And then there's a punchline. The expression of Chazal is a punchline. Ba'ahavo. And this permeated his whole life. The Simchas HaChaim, this man, didn't have very worldly possessions. We had a great laugh about his van. He had a van which he took the boys on outings sometimes in his class. Had a van which was stopped many times by the police. Every part of the van was painted a different colour. Right? It was held together with glue and sealing wax or something. The policeman opened the door and could see the road through the holes in the floor of the car. Now, this is how rickety it was, until they actually, one of the policemen decided, he's got to get this car off the road. And so it was banned from the road. But otherwise, he drove it for years and got away with it one way or the other. But he did everything, kadosa, kadin, everything, MOT, everything. He was very meticulous about din and machus din and keeping all the rules. So, this is a person, a tremendous simchas achayim. Well, coming back to this shiur, which is, as I say, I wasn't preparing this, but when I'd prepared this shiur, I felt how applicable it is that this is, in fact, the fact and so applicable to Rabbi Greenhouse, I think. And he had no need of anything. He didn't lack anything. And Rav Elia brings a moshel about someone who creeps into the neighbor's house and to poke around. He's obviously a nosy parker. He creeps into his neighbor's house to see, you know, what his neighbor's got. And he finds a house with no medicines, not an aspirin, nothing, no medicines in the house. And he comes out and thinks, this man is so poor, he can't even afford basic medicines. Fool, says Rav Elia, the man's healthy. He doesn't need any medicines. That's the point. That's why he's got no medicine in the house, because he's a healthy person. And this is the point, that someone who's an Omel B'Torah, as the person we've just been talking about, doesn't suffer. Kina, Taiva, Kovod, none of those things bother him at all. And as we start, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, V'yan chavayarivecha, I will pinig you, I will afflict you, and I will starve you. But on the other hand, we know, Loi nit na Torah ela lo'eich le'mon. The people who were, to whom the Torah was given were only the people who were oich le'mon. The others don't qualify. And the Chorim might say, oh yeah, oich le'mon, because they had no tirlis of parnosa. Yeah, everything was handed to them on a plate. That's not the pshat, says Rav Elia. That's not the pshat. The pshat is not that they have plenty of time, but because they don't worry about tomorrow. That's the reason why lo'nit no Torah ela lo'eich le'mon. They're not worrying about tomorrow. They've got what they needed for today. That is sufficient for their needs, and therefore they don't worry about tomorrow what's going to happen. And that's the qualification. The qualification is we do not worry about where things are coming from. The right derech actually, that means that if we do live like that, and the idea is, and he brings a moshel, which I won't bring because we're a little bit out of time, but he brings the moshel sort of says that a person who actually has to come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu all the time is connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the idea. The mon came on a daily basis. And the moshel is that there's one of the Tanaim asked, why didn't he deliver mon once a year? Because then there would have been a once-a-year connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On a daily basis, we have a connection on a daily basis with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's the uninterrupted connection with the Ribbono Shel Olam. So they complained about it, the mon, that it's hard. Yes, true. And they were criticized for it and punished for it. But Lemaisa, they still had the schus, that they were the Mekabli Torah, had that schus, and therefore that's something in their merit, that they merited to be Mekabli Torah, despite the, and of course the lesson of this year is, that with the right attitudes, etc., all difficulties melt away. And I think we have an example of that, and I think he's put it over very clearly, I hope I have too, and I leave you with those thoughts, because they are, as I started off, the title of the shir is The Torah, Journey of Life. If we're on the right journey, then we will see the Paltin Shel Melech. Paltin. Yeah.